you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun. Half an hour of laughter beckons, every minute packs a second.
For the next 30 minutes, it's Take It From Here, with Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Jimmy Edwards. Other words and music will be heard from Wally Beaton, Herbert Mosfin, and the Keynote. And we have the augmented BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. So if you're receiving us loud and clear,
Take It From Here.
What your stars predict. For those engaged in commercial occupations, Friday should bring financial rewards. Those born under Gemini will find that on Thursday they will either travel or stay where they are. Saturday is possibly the best day to start the weekend.
Utter, complete, and unadulterated crystal. Fancy you believing in that stuff, Benji. You, a grown man in full possession of what's left of your faculties. Frankly, I boggle.
Oh. Well, it's easy enough for you to point the finger of thought. The fact remains that the stars have a definite bearing on human destiny.
Now, Dick, you don't really believe in the stars, do you?
You hear some very funny things, George.
Not yet, we haven't.
Well, I come of a family which has always believed it's possible to predict the future. My great-grandmother was Turkish.
Oh, yes? What position did she play?
Go on, Josh. But it is down on record that he predicted the great disaster that hit Melbourne in 1876.
I thought you were born in Sydney. Look, Bentley,
No, Jimmy, let him go on. And you've got this gift as well, Ender.
Sometimes it frightens me, George. It's an uncanny power.
Yes, I've heard of it. In Scotland, they'd call you Faye.
And in Lancashire, they call him Jesse. You want to get your hair cut, Bentley.
No, what form does this power take, Dick?
I vibrate.
You what?
I vibrate.
Oh, do you?
Yes, it's a definite mental vibration. At first, I put it down to some physical cause, such as tight braces or leaning against the fridge. But now I know it's a gift.
Well, I don't know. What with you vibrating and Jimmy boggling?
It warmed me, Joy. You know, I was going to appear on Henry Hall's television show. But something said, don't do it. Do not do it. But just don't blame me if I find something unpleasant in your future.
Right.
Give me your teacup, Jimmy.
Here you are.
Thank you. Now, I swirl the remains of the cold tea in the bottom and toss them over my left shoulder, so.
Clumsy clot! Cold tea all over me tash!
Now, let me inspect the pattern formed by the remaining tea leaves. I'm vibrating.
Joy, vibrating.
Now, listen carefully, Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
I see. No, I prefer not to say.
Come on, Benders, I can take it. What is to be, will be.
Jimmy, I see a ragged figure lying in the gutter with an empty gin bottle. There is a sign round his neck. Ex-radio star. Please give all you can.
Oh, no.
Jimmy, I'm afraid the stars do not fly.
Well, that's a bit of good news, isn't it, eh?
Good news?
Certainly, that happens to be Bentley's cup.
No, I don't believe it.
The captain was a mean cat. but his daughter wasn't there.
So when he caught the mate, then I knew it was the end.
And as she tossed us overboard, he hollered, listen, friend, bottle me up. Bottle me up. Bottle me up. Diddly dum, boy, handle me carefully. To
dear ladies and gentlemen, it's a place where the great problems facing our country, indeed, the problems facing the world, are discussed, hotly debated, and finally solved. Leaving the barber shop now, we come to
It's Wall, the coronation guide himself.
Here, Jim, how about buying a raffle ticket for the building's coronation night street party?
Street party?
Yeah. You know, chairs and tables out on the pavement. Like when you're evicted, only without the foul language. The first prize is a lovely fur coat from a well-known Bond Street store.
What sort of fur coat?
Well, I can't tell yet. Let you know after Thursday night if there's no moon. It's going to be a smashing party.
Oh, yes.
We've even got a professional entertainer for the children. He's a black-faced coon, does paper tearing and whistling solos. We got him for $5 and a jug of stout.
That's not much.
Well, I live quite near. It's only a step, really.
Yes, we're really laying it on. 60 barrels of stout, 900 bottles of draught, and a packet of crisps.
Well, I don't see why you bother with a packet of crisps.
Whoa, we don't want people to think it's one of them boozy dudes. Here, you should see the decorations strung across the road. We didn't have quite enough flags to reach right across, so we filled the gaps with a few pieces of washing.
It must look most colourful.
Ah, most impressive. According to one ex-Navy bloke, the flags spell out the message, the fleet will enter Gibraltar between Jim's uncle's comms and Mrs. Wilson's modesty.
Rule Britannia!
It's going to be an evening of rejoicing, Jim. Merry England, dancing in the streets, laughing, singing, making what ale. Come, landlord, fill the flowing bowl, aunt till he's got run over. And the old buildings all ring with the patriotic cry, up Britain, long live freedom, and gentlemen in the silly aisles would like to contact a good accountant.
And now, Type's topic for the week.
Forward, Mr. Dunhill, if you please.
Well, sir, every year it's the same. After all this time, we still haven't got it sorted out. We know that we're not the only ones who get involved in the annual argument.
Well, thanks for the cup of tea, Ada, and far for the loan of the lawnmower, Bert. I reckon I must be toddling now. Got to get to bed early, otherwise I shall lose my beauty, eh, Ada? Hey?
Oh, there's no hurry, Harry. We ought to the clock tonight.
Yes, you'll get an extra hour's sleep tomorrow morning, old man.
An hour's less sleep, old man. We gain an hour.
No, we lose an hour. This means we get the extra hour in bed.
How do you mean extra hour, Bert?
Well, when it's 6 o'clock, it's 7 o'clock.
No. It's 5 o'clock when it's 6 o'clock. It's what they call the double-breasted summertime.
Oh, that's right. Harry's got it, Bert.
Yeah, he hasn't got it, Ada. Oh, as amused as me, trusting Clark. We people get confused over this simple mathematical point.
I don't know of anybody what's getting confused around here, old man. If it's 7 o'clock and you put on an hour, then you put it on. It becomes eight.
To the, if you'll pardon me saying so, insane mind, that would appear so. In point of fact, it's still 6 o'clock.
What is?
8 o'clock. It's for farm labourers, you see.
What the flaming blazes of farm labourers got to do with it?
Now, there's no call to get ratty, Ada.
No one's getting ratty, Ada! Your old man's just talking wet, that's all.
Bert did not get the job of senior costume clerk at Pelham and Carbridge's by talking wet.
Ada, the whole road knows how he got that job. I don't think we serve no purpose by waving that particular bit of dirty washing.
And what's more, when he turns up an hour late on Monday, he won't have the job.
Look, Harry, old man, let's keep our wool on, shall we? Look at it this way. This bottle of salad cream is the sun.
Yeah.
Ada's homemade scones are the earth.
I'm with you there, mate.
Now then. Now, a farm laborer...
Oh, let me inspect his farm laborers again now.
Do you mind, Harry? The farm laborer gets the extra hour sunshine. The extra hour is for the crop.
Oh, but the crop can't tell the time.
Ah! Ada, that's the first bit of sense I've ever heard you talk.
Well, there's a nice thing.
Look, take Eskimo.
Take anything you like.
Well, I'm saying, take it. Now, what proves my point is that up at the North Pole, it's daytime all night long.
Well, thanks for the tea, Ada. I think I'll get along now. I'm just a little bit tired. If I were you, I'd get Bert off to bed earlier and see he has as much rest as he can possibly
get. What are you talking
about? Don't try taking me for a mug! Give me credit for a little bit of 18 pence. Daytime, all night long. You want to have him seen to, Ada. Oh, sitting there brooding about Eskimo farm labourers.
I think you'd better leave, Harry Grumbold. I have too much respect for my husband to let him be name called in his own house. If he says it's 6 o'clock when it's 8 o'clock, then it is 6 o'clock even though it is 8 o'clock.
Ada, I tell you, it isn't 8. If you'd only listen to what I say for a change.
Well,
then...
I have been listening. I've never heard anything so saucy as
that. Saucy nothing. It just wants a bit of thought.
Well, I'll be getting along now, then.
And if you had one grain of sense in that thick city.
Go on, throw it up in my face.
I'll put the lawnmower over my shoulder and I'll be.
Just because I didn't go to night school, you're all.
Don't need to go to night school to know that when you alter the grandfather
you
clock.
You can alter the grandfather clock. I'm not touching it. I'm going to.
What's that?
Don't bother arguing no more. Your clock's been altered. I just backed into it with the lawnmower.
If I had a penny every time I cried for you, be a millionaire whose every dream falls through. If I had a penny every time my teardrops start, I'd buy the world, but then who'd mend my broken heart? The nights I spend alone yearning, wondering where you are, the tears upon my cheek burning, 'cause the sun won't shine till I know you're mine. Take my every penny for the times I've cried for you. What does money do without the love of you? Times I've cried for you. What good does money do without the love of you?
So we come to the Type Film Award, the Type Oscar. And this week it's the Ame Wurumque Cano, Troiae qui primus laboris, Italiam fato profugus labinaque venit litora. Type of film. It's a film which tells the story of Helen of Troy, the Judgment of Paris, the Siege of Troy, and the Wooden Horse. An adaptation of Virgil's mighty epic, The Aeneid. You've read the book, now see the picture. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Outside of Helen, or A Note of Troy.
Five 5,000 years ago, the Greek gods and goddesses still walked the earth. And their home was on Mount Olympus, or so we are told by the Greek dramatist Horace Toffino.
Aristophanes!
At what a use you are as a narrator.
Yes,
on Mount Olympus lived such legendary deities as Mars, god of war, Atlas, god of geography, Mercury, god of thermometers, Thor, god of burst pipes. Every god had his goddess, whom he first gave ambrosia, then nectar.
And one day, so the story goes, on this sacred hillside, sat a handsome young goat herd named Cat. When dusk fell, he was calling his goats one by one.
Come on, kid. Hey, Stinky, Bongy, Nippy, Smelly, Edward.
When suddenly there was a rumble of thunder, a flash of lightning, and Paris fell to his knees in awe.
For there before him stood three beautiful goddesses, clad in wisps of flimsy chiffon, which looked as if the slightest breath of wind might blow them away. The shepherd spoke.
Oh, Paris, Paris, we are Venus, Juno, and Minerva, popular stars of epic, myth, and legend. I have here a golden apple. Please cop hold of it, old goat herd.
We want you to award the apple to she whom you think is the fairest of we.
The she to whom wish to give your judgment will be named Miss Mount Olympus of BC 3500. She will receive a cash prize and an evening dress made by Greece's number one dressmaker, Pagan Dior.
So, choose then, O Paris. I am Juno, the goddess of power. Choose me and I will give you all the power you want, even at peak period.
Oh, Minerva, goddess of wisdom, of travellers, and of good health. Choose me and I will give you better brains, better trains, and better drains.
I am Venus, goddess of love.
Are you? What will you give me?
The winner! So the judgment of Paris awarded Venus the apple. And in return, she told him to go to Helen. Helen, the most beautiful woman history has known.
Helen, betrothed to Achilles, greatest of Greek warriors, who themselves are the world's bravest fighters. Well, when your uniform consists of shoes with pom-poms, white socks and ballet skirts, you've got to be able to fight.
And in between battles, Achilles was wont to visit Helen.
Who knocks without?
Helen!
Yes?
Act!
Oh.
Do not keep me waiting in this pillared hall, Helen. For years have I thirsted for your beauty. Me arms are hungry, me soul aflame. There's a shocking draft blowing up me baluster.
I am here, O Achilles.
Let me look at you. Pythagoras, I'm a lucky Greek. Helen, you are more beautiful than ever, more lovely.
Slaves, night off.
How shall we spend the evening, O Achilles?
I'll tell you of the wonders I've seen in far-off Carthaginium. Nymphs, dryads, wetads, smallads, centaurs.
Centaurs?
Centaurs. They're men with a horse where their trousers ought to be.
But a warrior does not waste his time with words. Let me taste your beauty. Let me part lips, drink the wine of your kisses. Me fevered arms know the rapture
of... No, Achilles, you mustn't.
course I can. You didn't get away with murder when it's Greek mythology. If we hop this up enough, we'll get a repeat on the third program.
Well, let's get on with it.
Oh, curses and Greek swear words. Who dares interrupt Helen and Achilles in mid-snog?
Excuse me. Can I speak to the lady of the house?
Jane, she's a slim figure with short white tunic, golden curls, and a broad band round the forehead.
By Jupiter, it's Suzanne Longlong.
Nay, my name is Paris.
Oh.
I'm sorry I'm so wet, but it's dark outside and I fell in your well.
Paris, in the spring. I know not what you want here, handsome youth, but some strange aura emanates from you.
It's my goat. Oh, the goddess Venus appeared before me at the sacred lime grove. She sent me hither to you, saying you would fall immediately in love with me because I am handsome beyond repair.
Yes, you are.
Huh?
'Tis you about which I have dreamed.
Huh?
Excuse me, miss, but a funny noise keeps coming from your standard lamp.
Standard lamp? I am wearing the uniform of the Greek army. What do you think these stripes are, Peloponnesian, miss? Who is this Venus about whom you babble?
Venus is a deity, old man.
I think you're a deity, old man. In fact, I'm sure of it. Coming here, interrupting a mythological hero while he's busy with his Greek homework. Oh, I'm going out to my chariot now to fetch me trident. And if you're here when I come back, you'll get a nasty flesh wound. In triplicate!
There, Helen. Now we're out of Rome. Listen. I'm going to Troy.
Well, let me knock the door first.
No! No! Vinny. No, Troy. The seaside resort.
Oh.
Yes. It's only across from Hellespont. I have chartered 3 dhows and a palaka.
What are they?
Mediterranean boats. 1 dhow for you, 1 dhow for me, and 1 palaka. Oh, come, Helen. Flee before Achilles comes back illy. To Troy, me love.
Where is he? Get your puncture outfit ready. Where is he? Gone! They've fled. To arms, all Grecians. Our Helen has been abducted. Launch 1,000 ships. One flucker, I'll murder him!
And so Troy was besieged by Achilles and the Greeks. At the end of the first year of siege, Achilles went to the gates of Troy and ceremoniously shouted up to the Trojans.
Oi!
Come up!
Give up?
No!
Aren't you hungry? No food or drink has passed his gate for 12 months.
Uh-huh.
Well, where are you getting your grub?
Through the back gate.
Round to the back, everybody.
9 years of siege went by without any signs of surrender from the gallant Trojan. Then Achilles, ever the crafty, conceived a brilliant idea. He took up his annual position outside the city wall.
Oi! Want a big wooden horse?
Nah.
Oh. Oh, well, that's one brilliant idea up the spout. Where's the brainy chief of staff who dreamed that one up? Oi, useless!
Julie Keys!
Well, whatever your name is, they don't want it.
Well, go on, talk them into it. Spin them a funny, mate. Give them a bit of the old madam.
Ah, the glory that was Greece. I'll try. Oi! About this big wooden horse. You could call it the Horse of Troy.
You mean like the mayor of Blackpool?
That's right. Do you want it?
No.
Well, look, it's not an ordinary wooden horse, it's a surprise horse.
Inside it, there's 68 fully armed soldiers.
That's the whole point. If he knows it's full of soldiers, he won't put it inside the gate.
Oh, he's dumb enough for anything.
Do you want the big horse?
All right, here it is.
Loveliest present a boy ever had. A 40-foot-high wooden horse.
Harris, it's no use your hopping up and down like that. You'll never be able to cock your leg over it.
Perhaps I should take a running jump.
I'm beginning to think so, Harris. Oh, I fear the Greeks even when they bear gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this horse is... There's a noise from inside it.
Menelaus, for the last time, if you don't get your sandal out of my mouth, I'll conjugate you.
Oh, you're right, Helen, and look. There's a trap door in the horse's stomach. Oh, Helen, perhaps it's got toffees inside.
Now, Paris, don't go under the horse. Don't touch the bolt.
I must.
Who opened the bomb doors? All right, Greeks, we're in. Sack the city. Set it in flames.
But when it burns.
You'll just have to sack it and see. Go on. Off you go.
I'll wait here.
Achilles, and you're wounded.
I, mortally. When I dropped out of the Gigi's tum, I fell on something long and sharp.
Ooh, my nose.
Oh, Achilles, you fell on Paris. Paris, are you all right?
Oh, duh, boy, duh. Oh.
Two great heroes are wounded, and a mighty city is destroyed, all because of one woman's beauty. Oh, immortal Achilles, what is the purpose of this eternal male pursuit of the female? What is it all for? What is the point?
I'm not saying, dear, but the Greeks had a word for it.
Of you orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved would join Nicole Sixpence and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced for Charles Maxwell by C.F. Meehan. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week and...